Good morning. If you would stand with me, we will pray together and we will invite the Lord into the house of praise this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another beautiful day. We thank you for the cooler weather. I know I enjoy it. Father, we thank you for this ability that we have in this country to be able to come together on Sunday mornings and praise and worship you and dig into your word. And we know it is by your divine intervention that we are still able to do it. And we praise you for that. Father, we pray that you touch our hearts today with the word that is inspired by your spirit, that we may learn and grow and be drawn closer to you. Father, we thank you again. And we pray your presence in this place. In Jesus' holy name, we pray these things. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we would just take those words to heart, God, that we don't have to do this all by ourselves, that you created this world, you are above all things, like Angela said, and I just pray today that we would have that peace and that comfort, that you are greater than anything that any of us could be going through, God, and you know every single thing that we are all going through, God. You don't turn a blind eye to it, you don't pretend it doesn't happen, God. You know what we're going through, and I just pray a spirit of peace and of comfort this morning, God, and I also pray for those who are sick in body that couldn't be with us today. Lord, bless them where they're at in their home, keep them safe, heal them, God. And I just pray today that our ears would be open for the word that you have for us, Lord, that our hearts wouldn't be hardened to this, that our hearts would be open, our ears would be open, and that we would be open to what you have for us this morning, God. Thank you for this awesome opportunity that we get to come and worship you, Lord, because we know it's getting harder and harder, like Aaron talked about last week, God, and I just pray that we would be more intent and zealous in our faith, Lord. I just pray again that you would anoint the word today and just be with us today, Lord. Amen.
Good morning again. My mom, you might know as Donzi or Donella, depending on how long you've known her. She's both. And she called Pastor last night and asked if I could read a few words. And she really wanted to be here, but she's been ill, so, you know, keep her in your prayers. But this is from Donzi. Dear friends, today we are celebrating the 10th anniversary of Pastor Jim as our senior pastor. Congratulations, Pastor Jim and Belinda, as you continue to serve our church family. Even though I am unable to be with you in person, I am there in spirit joining with you as we praise God for the blessing of leadership he has provided for New Hope. We have in Pastor Jim a loving pastor shepherd who watches over us. I'm reminded of this scripture in Hebrews 13:17. Obey your spiritual leader and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Thank you, Pastor Jim and Belinda, for all the ways you love us and bless our church. We thank you for your commitment to God's word and the vision God has called us to at New Hope. Thank you, Pastor and Belinda, that even in the difficult and challenging seasons, you seek God for guidance and direction to keep our church family moving forward. On a personal note, I can say from experience in pastoral ministry that most people really have no idea how challenging, draining, and difficult pastoral ministry can be. But God is faithful to give us what we need, no matter what the challenge is. And Pastor Jim and Belinda show us how to live that out every day. Please remember to keep them daily in your prayers. Give them your wholehearted support. I love you both. I support your leadership and faithfully pray for you. Looking forward to many more great years. Love, Donzi.
Good morning, everybody. Before we get going here, you know what? God is good. When things are difficult, he sends blessings. And I've been blessed with my first grandson, Luca, down there. And he is a papa's boy. And Belinda doesn't like it, but I love it. So we also have been blessed with Paisley Joe, who is on her way She keeps calling, seeing if we got everything ready for her. And you're due 1st of August?
August 3rd.
August 3rd, okay. And the quiver continues to fill up. Ashley is pregnant again. So by Christmas, there will be 3 grandbabies to help us celebrate Christmas. So, yes, it's awesome. It is awesome. So, my message today is called Connect Part Deux. And if you don't speak French, it means two. And we'll get into why my message is called Connect Part Deux. But I thought today would be a good time to just kind of go over what we've been about for the last 10 years. And when I say that this is what we've been about for the last 10 years, it doesn't mean that that's not what Pastor Lee and Donella were about before that. Because they blazed the trail. They started this church almost 35 years ago. 30 years ago. And a lot has happened since then. And I was looking back, and this is our 10-year anniversary, and so I went on online and I looked at what was happening in the world in 2011. And as for personally, I had 2 daughters that were not married, and I had 1 daughter that was still in high school. The price of gasoline was $3.54 a gallon, so we're actually doing okay. The biggest thing that kept coming up was Kim Kardashian's 72-day marriage, for any of you that really give a rip. But just to show how far back that was, in July, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. So it was the last Harry Potter movie was released in 2011. So a lot of things have happened since then. One is, if you've never seen the Harry Potter series, then you obviously do not have cable TV, because I'm sure they have one channel completely devoted to just showing Harry Potter. You can turn on the TV at any time, and there is one of those movies are playing. So, but I kind of was reflecting over what we've done in the past here at New Hope Christian Center, and I kind of just wanted to reiterate what we do here. Our mission statement is very simple. How many of you have ever been in a company or a church and their mission statement is like 3 pages long? And I work for a company, I work for Johnson & Johnson, DePew Orthopedics, and we have to know the mission statement for them. And they have a mission statement, and then they have a credo, and then they have this, and then they have that, and then you have to test to see if you know their mission statement and their credo. Here at New Hope Christian Center, if I ever give you a test, you're going to thank me, because our mission statement here is simply make disciples. That's it. Make disciples. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, and I don't have any notes for you today, so you're actually going to have to old school it for today. But Matthew chapter 28, 19 is the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples before he left this earth. He said, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And that's what we do. We make disciples. We make people more like Jesus. That is our entire goal. We give you the opportunity. The rest of it is up to you. The rest of it is up to you. And the process we use is simple. Connect, connect, release. We connect you to God. We connect you to others. And then we release you to do what God has called you to do. We train you up. We give you the ability to handle the Word of God. We connect you to other people. And then we release you to do what God has called you to do. Because each and every one of us has something that He has for you. And it's unique. It's different. And it doesn't mean if you're not a pastor that it's not as important. Because it is. Donzi was talking about in her notes that people really don't understand the trials and tribulations that pastors go through. And it's very much true. Before I became a pastor, I said, well, how hard could it be? Seriously. But there are seasons of difficulty. And I know this is hard to believe, but sometimes people are difficult. Maybe it's just me, and you all are perfect, but things can be difficult sometimes. This last year has been difficult. There are 100 and some people, and some people are not going to agree with you. And I like what Donzi said. It's like, you know what? That's when you need to go to God and say, God, what do you want me to do? Because this is ultimately His church. It's not mine. It was not Pastor Lee's. It's His. We're simply stewards. That's what we've been called to do. And I've heard a lot of, excuse me, pastors that you hear of pastor burnout, or they just up and quit. And I wonder, were they truly called to begin with? Because there are going to be difficult times. If you read the scriptures, there's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be difficult times that come. And every time the scripture says, stand firm. Endure. Because if you just quit whenever things get difficult, you'll never stick to anything longer than about 3 days. When you're called to be a pastor, you're called to be a pastor. I've had people say, how do you do it? I don't understand. Well, this is not something that I just woke up and thought, hey, I want to be a pastor. No, it was a process. And then I believe God was training me up to be a pastor. And when you are truly called as a pastor, you stick to it. And God will give you the strength to get through anything. Doesn't mean that it doesn't get difficult. Doesn't mean that some people rub you the wrong way. No, nobody here or at home. But He gives us the strength to continue on. So we connect people to God, we connect people to other people, and then we release you for service. How do we do that? We do that by the four pillars of the early church that are mentioned in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it says in the early church that they were devoted to four things. The first thing they were devoted to was the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the scriptures. They were devoted to the Word of God. The second thing they were devoted to was the fellowship. They were devoted to one another. They didn't just gather together in a building and then say, see you next week. They were devoted to one another in their lives. They became brothers and sisters. They became aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas in Christ. They were a family. They lived life together. They struggled through things together. They shared joy together. They shared sorrow together. They were devoted to the fellowship. The third thing is they were devoted to the breaking of bread. And I believe that there's two aspects here. One, the breaking of bread being communion. And the second was a breaking of bread because there was something special about gathering in someone else's house and sharing a meal. Because you never did that with an enemy. They were devoted to gathering together, sharing meals, and sharing life. And then they were devoted to prayer. So those four things are the four pillars that everything that we do here at New Hope Christian Center has to fulfill at least one of those pillars. Otherwise, I think we're just wasting our time. I'm going to read out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 through 7. And this is, the author is thanking God for the faith of the Thessalonians. And he says, "We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with the power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia." This is Matthew 28:19 being lived out. This is the fruit of Jesus saying, "Go and make disciples." In this paragraph right here, it gives the ingredients for that. And I'm going to look at a few parts of this. Back in verse 3, it says, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ." That word work, your work produced by faith. The word work there in the Greek is ergon, and it means an act, a deed, thing done. The idea of working is emphasized in opposition to that which is less than work. So here we see the author is saying, thank you for your work produced by faith. And he goes on to say, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. That word work is something that you do, an intent with an end product. And he's thanking them for their work and for their labor and for their endurance. Philippians 2:12 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." You see, your faith is not faith until you begin to work at it. Now, don't get me wrong. We are saved by faith through grace, not through works, so that no one can boast. You cannot earn your salvation. But once you have that, then you begin to work in it, you begin to labor in it, and this says that you even need to endure in it. In the Greek, this is quite a word here, the word work or work out is katergadsume. Katergadsume, and it means to perform, accomplish, achieve, work out, and to do that from which something results. So if we have true faith, according to James, there's going to be fruit. There's going to be work, and there's going to be fruit. James says, "I'll show you my faith by what I do." Because if you're not doing anything with your faith is dead. It's not faith at all. So we are called to work. And it says here, how did they do that? I'm going to go back into 1 Thessalonians. He says, "You know how we lived among you for your sake." They didn't just ride into town, say, "Here's the gospel. Study it. I'll be back in about 3 months." What did they do? It says, "We lived with you for your sake. We lived with you and we showed you how to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And at the beginning of the paragraph, he says, "Thank you, for your work produced faith." Here's something that if you're a note taker, write it down. We do not work for our faith, but we do work for the faith of others. We don't work for our own faith. We do it as a benefit for other people. And if you're not around, if you're not connected to a family, you're not getting what God wants for you. I receive fruit in my faith. My faith grows because of you guys. I can study God's word. That increases my faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if it's just me, I'm just the Lone Ranger, I'm not connecting with anybody else, I'm not receiving that increase or growth in my own faith. Because God designed it to come from other people, to come from you people. So when you have the majority of people in churches today, they simply go to church. Well, are we going to go to church today? Well, I don't know. Should we go to church? You don't go to church. You go to a building that has an assembly of people. You don't go to church. You are the church. I love people that say, well, I go to this church. I go to that church. Well, that's great. But how many of them are just going, punching in their get out of hell free cards, and then going home? Or are they going to connect with God and connect with others? Because we've been called to do this thing as a family. And sometimes families aren't perfect. I know that's hard to believe, because all your families are 100% perfect. There's nobody that causes any pain or sorrow. There's nobody that irritates you in your family. Wrong. But you know what? As a family, no matter how much my little sister irritated me, she's still part of my family. And we are called to love one another. Love one another. Not like, but love. It's easy to love the people you like. Is it not? It's the ones that kind of irritate you or it gets a little harder to love. But you know what? We're supposed to love those people as well. Amen? Amen? In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." They had a problem with people just showing up once in a while in the early church. It's been going on for 2,000 years. And why do we meet together? For encouragement. Because I don't know about you, life stinks sometimes. Life can get crazy sometimes. And we're there to lift one another up. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. We'll have plenty of time to share donut holes. The reason I call my message today Connect Part Do, because in our process there are two connects. The first is connect to God. Over the past 10 years, We have done that. I hope that if you've been around for any length of time, that you know more about the Scriptures today than you did when you first started here. And if you don't, then that's on you. Because whenever anybody gets up here and shares a message or a word, you are going to get the Scriptures. You're going to get the Scriptures that are not real warm and fuzzy. We do not pull punches here at New Hope Christian Center. God's Word is God's Word. God's Word at times can be offensive. It can be divisive. But we will teach the Word of God here. So the second part is connecting to others. And I believe that we can do better at that. I believe that from now on, we're going to not only continue to connect you to God and His Word, because we will continue in that, but we need to begin to focus on the second connect of connecting to others. Belinda and I are in the process of figuring, how do we do that? We've done life groups in the past, and they've been beneficial, but they're not, they still leave us lacking. You see, our vision was to have the life groups, and they would be simply stepping stones to meeting outside of a program in the church. And it hasn't quite done that. So we are open to some suggestions. We used to do something that's called Evening with Eight. And it was once a month that we would get together, and people would sign up for host families, and people would sign up to be put into a home, and we would do the arranging, and then they would just gather together, share a meal. Because you can really begin to know somebody when you're sharing a meal with them in their home. You cannot truly know someone by meeting together for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. You can't. It's impossible. You see, when Jesus was training up his disciples, what did he do? He lived with them for 3.5 years. They did things together. They went places together. Why? Because he was training them up. We see in Thessalonica, they were doing the very same thing. They were gathering together in one another's homes, and they were living life together. And that's going to be our main focus moving forward, is connecting with others. I don't know about you, but living in the day that we live in with all the technology that we have, there is absolutely no reason why we can't reach out to one another more often. And I'm not saying just go on Facebook and like everything that someone posts. I'm talking about if God lays someone on your heart, you give them a call. Or you just send them a text. Hey, just thinking about you. How's everything going? We have at our disposal so many opportunities to reach out. But I do believe it has caused us or allowed us to be lazy in our relationships. Instead of getting together face to face, we just text, or we Instagram, or we Twitter, or whatever, tweet. I don't know them, and I don't want to know them. I have people say, Jim, you need to get on Facebook. No, absolutely not. And I really don't care what your meal looks like. Take a picture of burgers and fries. Woohoo! And then all the people, ooh, like, Is that really what we've been reduced to, people? Seriously. Well, I'm defriending him now. No, we need to begin to work. And the thing is, it's going to take work. It's going to take intentionally setting aside time. Because I don't know about you, I don't remember the last time I was just sitting around going, wow, I've got some spare time. I think I'll fill it with something. No. We all live busy lives. All of us. Some busier than others. But if we are going to make this work and grow in our faith by encouraging one another, it's going to take some work. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some sacrifice. But according to the scriptures, that's what we're supposed to do. You see, when we have the women's retreat, the intention is so that the women can get away, have time without kids and without husbands, who oftentimes are just big kids, to gather and set aside time where you can connect at a level that you cannot do on a Sunday morning. But the intention is not for it to stop there. The intention is so that it continues on after that. You build the connections there, and then you continue them on. So that's going to be our focus. We're gonna have more times where we get together officially here at the church. We're going to have more times. I'm going to have more time with my brothers who can hold me accountable. I know I don't need it, but did you hear Henry? He about fell out of his chair. But that's going to be our focus. Because we're in this together. We're not called to do this as lone rangers. We're called to do it as a family. And that's what we're going to do. And the thing is, we are going to give you the opportunity to grow in your faith. But doing the work, it's going to be up to you. It's up to you. I'm not going to drag you kicking and screaming. But I am going to encourage you to get connected at a deeper level. Because we're supposed to. That is God's will for His children. Amen? Please stand. I would like to say thank you to our music ministry team. It was awesome because Angela couldn't make it last week, and we just had people step in. That is what we're about here at New Hope. If I go down, somebody else is going to step in. We're training people up. We're training our next generation up to be the leaders of the church. And it's not just the gym show, even though that show would be awesome. I don't know if you've ever, I've seen a commercial, there's a pastor out there, and the show is his reality, his life, and his family, and it's like, who in their right mind would invite a camera crew into your house to film you? That is bona fide nuts. But here at New Hope, we're all together. We all have a part. We all have a purpose. We all have a part of God's plan. And when you're not here or you're not around, there's a hole. There's a void. That's just the way it is. There's a void that only you can fill. We need to devote ourselves to the fellowship. We need to devote ourselves to one another and move from being a convenience-based connection to a priority in our lives. We're going to have to change some thinking. We're going to have to change some schedules. But I believe that's where God wants us to focus coming up. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this fellowship. It's crazy that it's been 10 years. But you know, Lord, that's in the past. And now we look forward to whatever it is that you have for each and every one of us. I pray that in our hearts we would all say challenge accepted and begin to become devoted, not just acquainted, but devoted to the fellowship. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. And I pray that you would just be with us, be at the head of all that we do here at New Hope. We thank you. And everybody said, amen. You are dismissed. We are having donut holes next door. Sometimes I don't get to talk to everybody afterwards. Now we have some time. So no excuses. Thank you.